Have you ever waited for someone and thought, God, they're never going to show up? Well, there's actually a play about that. And since 1953, Vladimir and Estragon have been waiting for Godot. That's the next play coming up at the Cincinnati Shakespeare Company. And joining me this evening is the artistic director of Cincinnati Shakespeare Company, as well as the director of Waiting for Godot, Brian Isaac Phillips. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This is an absurdist play. I don't think anybody would deny that. Give us a little bit of what this play is about.
We have two longtime companions who are meeting in the evening on a country road at a tree to wait for somebody called Godot. And they are doing this day after day after day. And that is pretty much what it is about. It is not a plot-heavy piece. It is more of a character-driven piece, and in a lot of ways a metaphor for what we do to get through life. And it's a stunning piece of theater and a stunning piece for actors to work on. And I think we got something special at CSC with it.
And character-driven shows require really strong acting, and you do have an excellent ensemble for this particular show. You have Bruce Cromer and Nick Rose as Vladimir and Estragon. You have Jim Hopkins coming back as Pozzo. You have Brent Vimtrup as Lucky and a young Jack Johnson as the boy.
It's a great group, and it's been a joy to go to rehearsal every day, and it's going to be a wonderful seeing audience reaction to this on a regular basis. Very often you hear that process is the best part about making theater, about theater in general. And I think that that is absolutely true with this and with this play and with this cast and how much you can dig in and dig deep and find something new every day. It's truly wonderful.
Of course, the first day of finding something new is when you get started, because you have five actors coming in, one of whom probably has never read the play, young Jack, and what you have in mind. And you're coming into a play, as you said, it's not really plot heavy. So everybody's coming with a different concept of what it's about. Is it futility? Is it religion? Is it whatever? What was it like on your first day of rehearsals?
Well, it was fascinating, sort of having an understanding of my personal history with the play and learning about everybody else's involvement with it and how few people had worked on it before. Nick has, of course, worked on it before. It's a piece of theater that is very often done in universities, and a lot of people are first introduced to at that time. Having a more mature cast and a more mature group working on the play, it really brings a lot out of that piece that is enlightening, terrifying, and exciting as you work on it as a more mature artist. And, you know, what we're finding is really how much heart there is in this. Everybody sort of makes fun of this sort of existential dread that is part of the play, and that's very true, and that's part of it. But it's also the heart, the idea that there are people that we choose, or maybe we don't choose, but who are our companions in life as we travel this road, and what that relationship is and how it can be wonderful, how it can be maddening. And the really sort of discovering that this time around has been an exceptional thing to be a part of.
At one time, this was voted as the most significant play of the 20th century. Do you think that's part of the reason, or do you think there's more to it?
I think that's part of it. I think the reason it was voted that is that it changed the way people looked at theater. So this thing starts in Paris, and then Peter Hall discovers it, or it's put on his desk, and he produces it in London. And all of a sudden, Noel Coward and Terence Rattigan and these drawing room comedies, that was what was the steady diet of theatergoers at that time. That's turned on its ear by this new play. And the play, of course, has a very awkward opening in America. Nobody understands why it's a comedy. People are leaving an intermission. They're booing it. And over time, what Beckett was able to do to the landscape of theater through this play has really, truly come to be understood. And sometimes that's a good thing, and sometimes it's a negative thing. There are a lot of plays that have no plot that probably could use one, but they used Beckett as an inspiration. So he inspired a lot of great theater and a lot of bad theater because of this play.
He's also inspired a great deal of conversation about what this play represents or what it means. And of course, as with any good theater, it means different things to different people. I know that a number of people I've spoken with have said it just changes every time they see it. Each production is different. What are you hoping to bring to this production to have people think about?
I think it's about, for me, what's important about doing it is how we get through life and how we need other people to get through life with whatever it is we're waiting for, whatever sort of conclusion we think is going to be at the end of our journey. It's about the journey. It's about traveling that road together. And I think my goal is to achieve the perfect balance of that existential dread, of that melancholy, along with the comedy, because with this play, just like life, there are highs and lows, and finding the balance as you go along is what matters.
Sounds like you're approaching this from a more emotional-driven directorial choice as opposed to trying to make this play make sense, which in an absurdist play is sort of absurd.
It's going to be something different to everybody. It means something to me, but depending on what you bring into the room when you come to see the production, it's going to mean something different to you. It's the journey more than the meaning. And as much meaning as people have tried to put on the play over the years, Samuel Beckett himself said that if he wanted it to mean that, that's what he would have said. It is stripped down specifically so it can be so universal.
I find it interesting that a lot of people, because of the name Godot, think it's God. But Beckett actually chose the word because it comes from the French word meaning boots. And he talks a lot about walking. There's a lot of walking in this play, even though it takes place in one location.
And he said if he'd meant for it to be God, he would have said God. And he did not. But that word, because it's something that's unfamiliar, especially to an American audience, I think that's where we're able to sort of put our own interpretations on the play.
I'm curious. You've got a very strong cast of veteran actors, and you have one young actor playing the boy. How has he responded to this play? What does he think about it?
I think he likes it. Based on the table work sessions that we've had for rehearsal and how much a part of the conversation he's been, I think that he likes it very much. He's a very smart young man, and we had a great time working with him on To Kill a Mockingbird a couple years back, and we're glad to have him back, and I think he's a smart cookie.
I read someplace that Beckett purposely did not give a lot of description about the characters themselves. And yet, as you say, it's a very character-driven show. Where does the inspiration come from for how the characters evolve in your production?
Well, for me, it's life. It's what it's like to have long-term relationships and friendships, marriages, partnerships, whatever they are, and how those evolve over time. And so that's sort of my inspiration for what we're doing. Beckett himself, there's a theory in one of his biographies, Damned to Fame, about how much this came out of being a part of the resistance during World War II, and that there was such a fear you had as you were waiting for a connection to come along, waiting for your contact to come along, and something could have happened to that contact and you never would have had a clue. The stakes were, of course, very high. And so there's a belief that that sort of experience inspired this play. I think that's interesting to play with, but I think ultimately anybody that has had a long-term relationship can see parts of themselves on the stage when this play is performed.
Well, that's Waiting for Godot at the Cincinnati Shakespeare Company, running January 16th through February 7th. I'd like to thank this evening's guest, director Brian Isaac Phillips. Thank you for joining us, Brian.
Thank you for having me.
For more information on Cincinnati Shakespeare Company and Waiting for Godot, please be sure to visit our website at wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, this is Jim Stump.